Thank you, Judy. Now, those words were written way back hundreds of years before Jesus came. You all hear me? Okay, through there? Okay. Oh, there we are. Yeah. They were written by the prophet Jeremiah to encourage the people who'd been taken from Judah into exile in Babylon. They'd been taken because they turned against God, they'd worshipped false gods, and they'd just completely forgotten what God had done for them. And so God allowed the Babylonians to come in and invade their country. And this was the third exile. There were three stages. This was the final stage of exile, where all the people except the poor people who were left to tend the vineyards were taken into exile to Babylon. It was a very sad situation. That city, Solomon's beautiful temple, which you can read about in books of Kings and Chronicles, so much went into that temple, beautiful building, and yet all of that was left a smouldering ruin by the Babylonian army. They broke down the city walls and took away the people into exile to Babylon as a result of their own rebellion against God. It wasn't just a couple of days' journey either. It would have taken them possibly several months, about 900 miles. You may say, why is it such a roundabout route? I think it's because of the terrain. They couldn't go direct, so they had to follow the coast and then the River Euphrates. And so several months of trekking for those poor people, uprooted from their home, having to go to far off Babylon to settle there in exile as punishment. They must have felt utterly hopeless and desolate, mustn't they? To see their city destroyed, that lovely temple destroyed, left a ruin. They must have been yearning to return to their homeland, to the place they'd grown up in. So our Bible reading then is the message that God gave to them through Jeremiah, to encourage them to be good citizens, basically. You're there for a while, so don't spend your time just moaning, just be good citizens. Good citizens, the place you've gone to. And there was this message to them, wasn't there? Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. In other words, you're going to be there for a while, so settle down and live good lives and be helpful people, be good witnesses to the Babylonians, because you're God's people after all. So be good citizens. Because if you're good citizens, you will make things better for yourself. If the country prospers, you too will prosper. So be good citizens. You'll be there a long time. Most would die there, of course, because God had promised after 70 years they would return to Jerusalem. So some of the older people obviously would never return, would they? The younger ones would die there, many of them. So God made this promise. He also went on to say, this is what the Lord says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you future and a hope. That's a good promise, isn't it? We often see it on text cards, don't we, on cards people send to other people. God's promise to give us a future and a hope. Have you ever felt like this? Stop the world, I want to get off. We see what's happening in the world, all the terrible things happening day by day. The sad situations in Ukraine and the Middle East and so on. We got the situation, the world's in a state, isn't it? Stop the world, I want to get off. Do you ever feel like that? I suspect most people feel there's something not quite right for this world. Something that ought not to be, you know. Ought not to be like this. Surely it shouldn't be like this. Why aren't things better? Wars, terrorism, illness, family problems, hunger, poverty, etc., etc. What hope do we have? Is there any light at the end of the tunnel? Yes, most people, I'm sure, time to time, think things shouldn't be like this. They may not feel they can do anything about it, but nonetheless, they feel it's not how it ought to be. There was a famous scholar and Christian writer called C.S. Lewis. He once wrote, "If I find in myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world." I'll say that again. If I find in myself desires that nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world. Someone once said, it's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. We may feel like cursing the darkness sometimes, but it's better to be a light, isn't it? Now, the Jews in exile could have spent all their time being resentful, being miserable because of what had happened to them, feeling anger against the Babylonians and even against God for letting this happen to them. They could have been difficult and uncooperative, but God said, no, bless the people you're living among. Be good citizens, live good lives, be a witness to them. Now, the Bible says that Christians in this world are in a world, in a way, we're like exiles in many senses, because we don't live the ways of the world, do we? So many things in the world we don't like. We have to live in this world. We have to cope with it. So God says to us, just be good citizens. Jesus said, let your light shine before men. Be salt and light to the world you live in. It's easy to just condemn everyone all the time, isn't it? Moan and groan about it. But it's much better if we can be positive and do what we can, all the good we can, in order to make the world a better place while we're here. So they were urged to be good citizens, and so are we as well, to be good citizens, to make the world a better place for being here. Whilst at the same time, of course, longing for something even better, as Jim Reeves was singing. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Now, when Peter wrote to the early Christians who were suffering persecution, this is what he wrote in 1 Peter 2. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. So he's saying, we're like foreigners and exiles, aren't we, here in this world? But nonetheless, be good citizens. Live good lives so that even the pagans will praise God for it. Just like the exiles in Babylon. Live good lives as exiles, as strangers in this world, because God will bless you for it. Jesus said, let your light shine. So how we live can show those who don't believe that the Jesus way is best. We don't have to like what's happening in the world, but we can play our part in making the world better. Jesus said, let your light shine, and we can do that, can't we? That's why it's good that we have Christians in Parliament, in public life, in business, in local government, Christians who will use their influence to uphold God's principles. That's good. We can't shut ourselves away from the world and go into a cave like hermits, you know, and pretend it's not happening. We're in the world. God's left us here, placed us here, so we can do what little we can. Remember that old song? Like a little candle burning in the light, you and your small corner and I in mine. But even better to get together, lots of lights together, isn't it? Not just a small corner, of course, isn't it? But we need to shine our light, because Jesus is the light of the world, and we can, just as the moon reflects the sun's light, we can reflect Jesus' light to the world, can't we? So that's why it's good if like the exiles, we can seek the peace and prosperity of the society we live in. And when people who aren't godly people do good things, we can thank them for it and pray for them. But we should always feel, like Jim Reeves, that we're not really at home in this world anymore. This has been the case down through the centuries for all God's faithful people. We don't feel at home here. Something not right. We're longing for something better. Now, all through the Old Testament, God's people were like this. In Hebrews, the writer put it like this about the Old Testament saints. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. They were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Just like Jim Reeves, you see. Living as strangers on the earth, looking forward to something better in the future. Looking forward to a better country, as the writer puts it there. In Romans, Paul was writing about the world we live in, the struggling world, and he wrote this: I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Looking forward to the whole creation being set free from its bondage to decay, set free from what sin has done to this world, set free to become a wonderful, wonderful world in the future. Paul reminds us this world is just a temporary home too. Philippians, he wrote, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies, that they will be like his glorious body. Looking forward again, you see, something better. God's promised something better for those who love him too. He's promised something better. So this world's just our temporary home, isn't it? So whilst we long for something better, we can be sustained by our hope. It's a certain hope, not just like saying, I hope it's fine next Wednesday. It's a certain hope that we know is going to happen, not a vain hope. That's why when we say goodbye to our loved ones who die in the faith, we hear those reassuring words. Ensure uncertain hope of the resurrection to eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a certain hope, not some pie in the sky. When we die in the faith, we have that sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life. So let's be grateful that God's given us a future and a hope. Something far better than we have now. The Jews knew that one day they would return, and some of them would, but in the meantime, they had to be patient. We have to be patient too, you know. Be patient, put up with this troubled world we're living in until God's time. But God will give us the strength to cope, to be able to be sustained by his love and his strength until that day comes. Something far better. Much better than returning to exile to Jerusalem will be the future God's plan for us. Because Jesus conquered sin and death through his cross and resurrection, and through faith in him, we can have that sure and certain hope. So may that hope sustain us for that time when we will live in a better country, evil will be